forever henceforth. Amen. As I was kind of thinking about this morning and thinking about the text and considering what took place so many years ago, I began to realize that this text and the story that it tells is a message of hope. Scripture speaks of it a lot in the New Testament, especially. And there's a lot of references to hope. And I started thinking about it, and in Romans, I know it's familiar to all of you, but the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 25 and 26, if we hope for that we have seen not, then do we with patience await it. Or actually 24, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I remember hearing that when I was younger. And at that point, it sounded kind of confusing. But then I began to realize over time, we can't see Christ in the physical shape. We can't see God. Nobody has ever seen him. So what are we hoping for? What are we actually hoping for? And how do we continue to hope? I guess maybe I could say it that way. We hope because we have faith. We hope because we believe in what this story tells. And by having that faith, we continue to believe, and with, as Scripture says, with patience, wait for it. And you see, that's the message of the gospel, that we patiently wait for the promises that God has given us. And he has given us so many of them. In Hebrews, and I ran across this, it's actually the 6th chapter of Hebrews, and it's verse 19, and it's just the very first portion of that verse. But for me, it really said something solid. And it says this, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And that's the type of hope that we have, that hope in Christ. And it is an anchor for our soul. And if we believe in what these words say and trust in what Christ has done, then our anchor will hold firm. Our anchor will hold and it will never slip. And it will indeed, as the songwriter says, it will indeed be anchored to a solid rock. It will not slip or fall away. Those are just some of the thoughts that I had this morning. I'd like to read the Christmas story this morning. It's recorded in the 2nd chapter of Luke, verse 1 through 20. Very familiar. But we read these words with the understanding of the hope that we have in Christ, and the hope and the assurance that we have in what he did for us. And reading the words in Jesus' name. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, and that we would leave here rejoicing in your name and rejoicing what you have done for us. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told this story before, and I'm going to tell it again. To be quite honest with you, there's a certain amount of pride involved in it. And you guys that know my son, Greg, can even ask him about it. He learned that entire text when he was just a little kid in grade school. It was for a Christmas program. He got up and he said it in church that Christmas Eve. And those of you that remember Reverend Andy Michelson got up after him after he was done. And he looked out at us and he said, he just stole my thunder. I felt pretty good about that. But the reason why I say, or one of the reasons why I say that, is to learn these verses and to learn this story, it's just something that we should do and be reminded of it each and every day. Be reminded of it as the hope of what God sent down that day some 2,000 plus years ago. It's all according to his plan. That's something that I think sometimes we forget. When things happen, regardless of what they are, it's God, at the very least, God is allowing it to happen. But his plan for us is salvation. And we should never, never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of the fact that what he wants most for us is for us to be with him. That's what he wants the most. He doesn't want us to stray and to fall away. He doesn't want us to be subdued by all of the lights and all the sparkly jingles, things and everything else that are in the world. He wants us to continually look to him so that one day we can be with him. And I've said this before, and I've said it, and it's happened to me twice, both with my mother-in-law who saw heaven, and also with a cop that I saw in Memphis, Tennessee this last summer. And he's told me the exact same thing that my mother-in-law told me. He had seen heaven, and he said, you cannot explain what it means. You cannot explain what it looks like. It's just too glorious and too wonderful to explain. And their descriptions are at least the best they could describe, were identical. So there was no suggestion at all that it was fake or it wasn't real. And that's what God wants for us this morning, to be in that heavenly throne, to be in that heavenly place, singing praises to him upon his throne and walking in those streets of gold. That's the best we can come up with, because it's according to those two reports, it was even better than that. And it was something that was just so glorious that we will never, ever be able to understand it until we're there. And that's what he wants for us. Hang on to that. Don't let go of it. Regardless of the temptations that you feel, the temptations that you see, especially you younger ones, you're going up through a time that it's not going to be easy. Hang on to your Savior. Hang on to what he has done for you. Don't let go of him. Don't let go. Because he has a gift for you that is better than anything that you'll ever get on any Christmas at any time given by anybody. He has a gift that will last through eternity. And eternity is a long time. And it's not something that you're ever going to be able to end. There will be a beginning of it, but there will never be an end. Grab a hold of that and hang on to it. Surround yourself with people who are Christian and who recognize that gift and recognize the gift of the Savior. And if there's ever any issues that you're going through, there is always somebody there that you can talk to. So hang on to him. Don't let go of him. Don't be subdued by what Satan would want you to do. So Joseph went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. It's a little interesting because Nazareth was approximately 100 miles away from Bethlehem. Now, can you imagine? You had to go to the city where you were born, or where your lineage came from. In this case, it was Joseph's lineage was out of David, the city of David, which is Bethlehem. Bethlehem at that time, or during the time of David, was where all of the fighting took place with the Philistines, where David killed Goliath, and where David was called he was called to fight Goliath. But it all took place around Bethlehem. And consequently, that's why it's called the City of David. Or one of the reasons, I guess I should say. So can you imagine? Now here's Mary, as scripture says, great with child. She has to travel 100 miles. It wasn't any light thing that needs to be done. This was something that was pretty arduous. So they went to Bethlehem, and while they were there, it says here, as it says in verse 6, that the days were accomplished that she should deliver. Looking back on all these things and seeing how all of these things transpired and how they took place, it could only be God's plan. Things like this just don't happen by coincidence. Things like this just don't happen by chance. Things like this happen because this is the way God wanted it to be. So while they were there, she delivered the child, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a common story. We've heard it many times throughout the years for each and every one, young and old alike. Swaddling clothes were kind of a bunch of cloth that was wrapped around the child after it was born. Matty Aho told me one time he was wrapped in swaddling clothes when he was born, for those of you who may know him. Not that that matters, makes any difference, but. So she was there, but it was done in a way, and as we'll read further on, even something as small as that was planned. Even something as small as a babe being wrapped in swaddling clothes was part of God's plan. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And interesting, and this is always something that I've always wondered about the shepherds. And we've heard it said that you know, God called, you know, didn't go to kings or queens or anything like that and tell them about the birth of Jesus. They went to the shepherds, the laborers, I guess, if you might want to call them that in today's language. But it was even more than that. Shepherds were not thought of as being the type of people you'd want to hang around with. They were smelly, they were stinky, they were dirty, and their job was not viewed as being one that the hierarchy, I guess you could say, would take part in. Their job was one that was given out to those who were considered on lower class, maybe you might call it, that, which is just a horrible term. Because in God's kingdom there is no such thing. And it's also interesting to note that there are some 200 times in the New Testament where the term shepherd or terms alluding to shepherds are used. And they're not used in a negative way. But they're used as those who guide the flock. They're used as those who protect. And as the story goes about the shepherd who lost that one sheep, they're used in such a way that they go out to find those who are lost. Just because mankind puts some type of connotation on a particular word or a particular language doesn't make it so. In God's kingdom, there is indeed. There's an importance to each and every person, regardless of their position in life. Because without one, you don't have the other. Without the laborer, you don't have the guy to haul the wood. Without the carpenter, you have nobody to put it together. And you can go on down the list. Most all of us are in construction, so we kind of understand that. Without them, the next process doesn't take place. God looks at each and every person. He looks at each and every one of us as being important, from the smallest child to the largest one. He looks at every one of us as being important and something to be cherished. He doesn't turn his back on us. He doesn't turn away from us. But he continues to love and hang on to us. I remember years ago when I ran across this, it was just a little poster, a little picture of a kid. And on the heading it says, "I know I'm somebody." And on the bottom it says, "Because God don't make no junk." And that's the way it is. God loves us so much that he gave us a gift that night so many years ago. So there were shepherds abiding in the field. They're hanging out watching their flocks, protecting and guarding, keeping them from danger. Now think on this. Here you are out in a dark field. It was dark. I mean, you might have had some starlight. There might have been some moonlight. I don't know. But all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord came upon them. Can you imagine the fright that they must have had? Can you imagine what they must have thought? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Boy, it just lit up everything. There were no shadows anywhere. And they were, this in Scripture it says, they were sore afraid. What we would say today is they were terrified. They were scared. Because nothing had ever happened to them before like that. Or to anybody for that matter, that they knew of. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, don't be afraid. For hey, look, I bring you good tidings, I bring you greetings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And again, we run across this word people. Whenever I run across that, I don't think of it, at least now I don't anyway. At one time I may have, but at least now I think of it in such a way, which shall be to all people. Nobody is excluded. No genealogy. No one. No, not this person, not that person, not this line, not that line, or not color, anything. It's to all people. Everybody is included. God does not separate anyone. And he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's a little hard to take all that in all at one time and to be told that Christ the Lord is in Bethlehem. It's pretty hard to take. They had to have had some type of religious understanding to be able to recognize what the angel was talking about. I don't know, there's nothing to say that they did, but boy, it sure would seem as though you'd almost have to have that. And this shall be a sign unto you. Now here, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And back, we'll go back a couple of verses. Mary wrapped the babe in swaddling clothes. It's all part of God's plan. That they were able to identify him by what he was wearing. And that he was lying in a manger. There's all kinds of depictions as to what that looks like. But believe me, it was not a Holiday Inn. It was a pretty crude and rough place. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Think about that. There was a glory of the Lord shown round about the angels when they showed up to the shepherds. But now they're saying that the glory to God on the highest. There was a multitude of angels, which magnified the light even more than what it was when the angels visited the shepherds. Boy, if that doesn't get your attention, that'll get it. You'll pay attention too, because you're going to want to know what's going on. You're going to want to know what's happening. And that's what these shepherds were looking at. And they heard the angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Well, the next thing that they did, I'm sure, was a result of what they heard. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the angels said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Boy, when God gets your attention the way he did with those shepherds, that would be about the only thing that you're going to want to do. Because Jesus was there. And they wanted to go see it. There was a reason for that. And we'll get into that too a little further down. And they came with haste. They ran. I don't know how far away they were. I have no idea. They're outside of town. part of the histories of being a shepherd and taking care of the flocks, the sheep were not allowed to be in the fields around the temple. Stinky, smelly. They weren't allowed to be there. It was just one of those rules that I guess the Pharisees had set up. So they weren't real close. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just like the angels said. Just like they said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Verse 15, it says, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which came to the pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." Why? Because they made it known abroad. They were the first messengers to go out and tell the people of Bethlehem and the surrounding area what they saw. And they were the first messengers to bring the news of Jesus Christ, their salvation. This is what God used. God didn't use some big newspaper article or anything, or some king or any trumpeter or any of the other stuff that was used back in those days. He used somebody who was not looked upon as being favorable. He used somebody that was not looked upon as being someone to be copied, someone to be desired. He used a shepherd to bring the news of Jesus Christ. What happened? All they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Is that any news? Is that any surprise? The shepherds come up and tell them something that was just pretty hard to hold on to, pretty hard to grasp. First off, they're talking about Christ. Well, that's kind of something new. He had never been there before. Yes, they would have been taught in the synagogues and in the churches and whatnot. But now he's there physically. And in such a way that it's pretty hard to understand. So they wondered about that. But in verse 19, it says, "Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." The term in verse 19, it says Mary kept all these things, and Mary treasured these things. It wasn't just something that she, well, okay, yeah, I'll try to remember all of this stuff and then come back to it later. No. She treasured all of the things that happened to her from the time when that angel visited her to tell her that she was going to bear the Christ child up until the birth of Jesus. And there are other places even in Scripture where it talks that she continued to do so. She treasured all of those things. And she reminded herself of them over time. And she pondered them. It's not a term that we use too much anymore. It's not a term that we used in just our everyday language. But to ponder something is to think on it, to examine it from every angle, to just really, really get into it and try to understand what it was. And in her case, what it was that she had gone through. It wasn't just a fleeting thought. It just wasn't just a little time. But she truly, truly treasured what had happened to her. She was only a teenager. Some say might have only been 15 years old, which was common back in that time. But the point is that she had that nature and that attitude. But something special happened here. and I don't want to forget it. Was it any kind of a chance happening that she was the one that was chosen? No. I mentioned even yesterday that with Joseph being the stepfather of Christ, which is what he was, but he was of that nature that he had compassion. And he obeyed when he heard these things. And these are the types of parents that brought Jesus up as a little child. These are the types of parents that brought him up. Was that by chance? No. God knew their nature. God knew what type of people they were. And I'm putting words I know into this. I understand that. But from a human perspective, someone who is loving, caring, and not given to, trying to think of the right word, not given to get real excited over issues at any given time, I would think that that would be the type of person that you would want to bring up my Savior. So often we don't think too much about the childhood of Christ, but he had one. He had one just like each and every one of us did and does. No offense to the older ones here. But the point is that he grew up. And he grew up in a family that was loving. I just can't help but believe that that wasn't the case. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They didn't surmise. They didn't put thoughts in where they shouldn't have been. They didn't forget to tell words or mention a word that would kind of change the direction on what they had seen. They glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. In the text in Matthew, it talks about that you shall call his name Emmanuel, or he shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, and that's who it is. Christ today, as starting back in that day, was God with us. Each and every one of us here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, God is with us. And I hope we can carry that and be reminded of it each and every day as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for that precious gift that you gave us so many years ago. And we pray, O God, that we continually look to him, continue to understand of what he did and what you have done for us, but what he did also. Because he obeyed you, and he did according to your will. Father, we thank you for that great gift. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.